Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Welcome to Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschooled.
The Homeschooled Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
It's time to document the journey. Welcome back to Homeschooled Podcast. I'm Augustino Zoida. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, I appreciate you. We know you have a lot of options out there. As always, thank you for choosing us on this beautiful day or night, or whenever you're listening to this. We appreciate you tuning in. This is my last episode that I'm recording before I head to Dubai. But don't worry, I have a couple of other episodes already pre-recorded, so while I'm gone, you guys will still get episodes with some good guests and stuff like that. So this is like the last one before I actually leave, and I'll talk to you guys when I get back. We'll tell you all about how it went and everything. And before I left, I wanted to talk to you guys before I leave. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. Two things we're going to talk about today. This is a solo episode. As you know, if you are a returning listener, every now and then I do an episode, no guests, no co-hosts. It's just me, and it's usually when I got a little something on my mind. They usually don't last that long. I won't take too much of your time. And before we begin, I would like to remind everybody, if you're listening to this and you are in the UAE, which is where I'm going to be. I'll be in the city of Dubai, and I'm doing a bunch of shows out there, a little tour. They'll be moving me around a bunch in the next 2 weeks, and not to mention the Dubai Comedy Festival. You can get tickets and information on where to see me. This will probably be a very rare experience to see me live if you are on that side of the world. If you're a part of our friends over there, you can see me and homeschooledpod.com. Also, if you type in augustinocomedian.com, takes you to the same place, but homeschooledpod.com. Click on tour, and you'll see my upcoming tour dates. You can click on all the Dubai dates, and it'll tell you like where you can see me and stuff like that. And make sure you guys follow me on social media too, by the way. If you're not following me on social media already, you definitely should be, because I'm constantly posting where I'm going to be and the shows I have coming up soon, and I'm putting stuff in my stories about my journey, and there's a big journey, coming back to stand-up comedy after a year-long pandemic, which is what we're going to talk about. But for now, go to homeschoolpod.com, click on tour, got tour dates. When I come back, I'll see you guys at Salt Lake City on June 5th. It's a one-nighter, so make sure you get tickets to that. And then I'll be going to Austin, Texas. I'm taking Lee Syatt with me June 11th and 12th. I'll be at the Romo Room in Austin, Texas. It's a good opportunity to see me and Lee. And then I'll be in Paso Robles. And I'm working on my summer dates too, so stay tuned. And it's definitely really important to follow me on social media at Augustino Zoida on everything. And make sure you subscribe to our YouTube. My YouTube channel is called Augustino Zoida. But that's where I put the podcast episodes. So I have scheduled episodes to release when I'm out of the country. So you guys will have these episodes still coming out, including on YouTube. They are scheduled already to release there. So make sure you're subscribed on YouTube if you prefer watching the videos. Plus, I need help on the YouTube anyway, so if you guys can help me out by going and subscribing there and commenting and sharing and all that stuff, that's the best way to do it. And the best way to get the word out about the podcast as well as support our show is to pick up some merch, you guys. We have t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, tank tops, stickers, mugs, you name it, we got it. We got masks. And everything is available at homeschooledpod.com. Click on merch. I'm really pleased, and everyone seems to be loving the Only Love Can Save the World shirt. It's pretty dope. Millie, who you can find on Instagram, Chili Millie, she does all the design for Sam Tripoli's shirts, and she did this one, and it's called the Only Love Can Save the World. It's a dope logo, and check it out. People are really buying it, and I think it's been people's favorite so far, so make sure you support the show, and you pick yourself up a dope t-shirt or a sticker or whatever. I really appreciate it. All right, so as I said, I'm leaving town, and I wanted to talk about a little bit this Sorry, I'm just going to pick up my recorder here for a second. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but in my headphones, for some reason, I keep hearing this banging around. I don't know if you can hear that. It sounds like a heartbeat or like someone's knocking or something. I don't know where it's coming from. But anyway, I guess it's not because of where it's leaning. Anyway, sorry. Sorry, everybody. Yeah, let's talk about the stand-up comedy world and what's happening to it right now with this pandemic kind of coming to an end, if you want to call it coming to an end. Little by little, you know, more states are opening, including California, which, like, you know, we're sitting indoors now to a certain capacity. And it's good news, I guess, you know. I guess it's great news. Like, people want to – everyone looks at it a different way. Some people are still scared. Ah, it's too soon, you know, whatever. But I'm not here to talk about that. I want to talk about – you know, we talked a lot about how the pandemic affected comedians and artists. But one thing specifically is now to talk about how the opening is affecting it. Like, this is almost like being born all over again, you know, and it's like a different experience. It's a different journey. So I have to go to Dubai and I have to get a COVID test, which I had said since the beginning that I did not want to get a COVID test. Like, I won't get one for a couple of reasons. Like, I didn't want to contribute to the numbers. I believe that you know, more than half of the fucking tests were fake, and you know, I just said I wouldn't get it. But now I've come to the point, I mean, I went over a year of keeping my word, but now, you know, I have to. This is stand-up comedy coming back, and that I support more than anything. That was something that I fought for the entire time. I fought for stand-up comedy too. It should have never have been gone. It should have never stopped. There was absolutely no reason for it. From the exact moment that restaurants were allowed to have outdoor dining, there should have been outdoor stand-up comedy shows. And I have fought that, and I've talked about on here before that I have gone to the city and fought it, and they refused to work with me. We're talking about the same people that, you know, the Board of Supervisors in Los Angeles that you would see in the news, you know. I got my rejected for all my proposals in it. They wouldn't even read my proposal during the meeting. And I've sent like countless emails to them, and like the response from the head of you know, the supervisors in LA County were writing me back, rejecting, you know, that stand-up comedy should even be allowed outdoors. Like, you know, my whole argument is, you know, you have outdoor dining, so why can't you have one person standing also 6 feet away from them, facing them, entertaining, you know, or a musician or whatnot. And you know, I was sent an email back to my very long letter, which my letter addressed that. It addressed depression, the amount of lives that we're losing of suicide, and or the amount of depression that people are having, especially artists, for being locked in and not being able to do what they want to do. And after this big long letter that I sent her, she wrote back that we just feel that, you know, stand-up comedy, it's not essential, it's not number one on our list to bring back. It's in the entertainment group along with like movie theaters and stuff. And they felt that it would comedy would cause people to kind of linger and stay at a place where they weren't supposed to be. And, you know, I mean, for someone to say that you've never been to a comedy show, I mean, my whole argument has always been that a stand-up comedy show is actually more safe than any outdoor dining or any event that you've already allowed to have happen. Think about it this way. You go out to a dinner. You guys remember going out to dinner when they only had the outdoor dining, right? And it was limited seating. So you had to have everybody sitting outside waiting to get their table. So now you got a group of people that don't know each other waiting in one designated area to be seated at a table that's 6 feet apart. It's the same thing with the airplanes. You know, in the terminal, they tape off every other seat because so you can be 6 feet apart. But then when you get on the plane, they're selling all three seats right next to each other, you know? So, it's counterproductive. And so you go out to a restaurant, they tell you, you know, it's a 45 minute wait because we're limited on capacity because they had a, you know, they can only fill half the room and all the tables have to be, you know, every other. And then they take all these people waiting for a table and they put them, you know, in a waiting area. You're standing outside in a group, and where no one's controlling it, and you know, that's what was happening. Then you have people who come, they sit down, you have dinner, right, or lunch, and then you get up and leave, and they sit the next group. So probably in one day, you could have, you know, maybe 20 to 30 different parties sitting at one table where they're sanitizing in between, hopefully, or at least they're supposed to. So you have that. You got more table turnover. So now here's a stand-up comedy show or a comedy club. So whoever's the supervisor has clearly never been to a comedy show, and or just clearly in the right position, because everyone in that position has no common sense of how things should have been ran, which seems to be, you know, the case of anything under Gavin Newsom, so the governor of California, just for everybody. So anyway, you go out to a comedy show, you're literally restricting people of how many can come, because to go to a show, you have to sell tickets. So now if you had an event where you sold tickets, you are safer than an event that does not sell tickets. This is a fact. This is my theory. It is 100% true, and it is not recognized by anybody else. if you sell tickets for an event like a comedy show, people go online, they buy tickets. Now, I'm not talking about they can buy tickets there, so you just say that's not an option. You can't buy tickets here. You have to buy tickets online. Easy, easy to enforce that. You buy tickets online. So now people that have tickets, they show up and they have a designed seat, assigned seat. So you only put X amount of tickets for sale. You know how much you can fill your room to capacity during within the guidelines. So that's all the tickets you put up for sale. Now somebody wants to go to the show and there's no room. They're going to go online to buy a ticket because that's the only place to buy a ticket, and you're going to see sold out. You're not even going to go down there. You're not going to waste time, gas, driving down there, finding parking, paying for parking. If you didn't have a ticket and it says what sold out on the website, you're not even going to go down there. So now you're talking about one show a night. People get up and leave, and there's not going to be another person sitting in that seat until the next show, which maybe you do two shows in one night or one a day. So it is clearly safer to do an outdoor comedy show than it is to do outdoor dining, but that was permitted sooner. But anyway, that's in the past. Comedy Store opened last week, you know, to a certain capacity indoors, which is great. I'm so glad to see that comedy is coming back. But the point is that I've always been a fighter for stand-up comedy. That's what I put first. So I'm going to go do this stupid COVID test. And if anybody knows me, how much this is going to bother me, I'm doing that stupid, you know, they put the thing up your nose test. And if you've been listening to this show for a long time, or if you know anything about me, I am like one of those dudes that gets really dizzy easily, okay? Like I can't watch surgery in a movie, anything medically. I can't give blood. And when I have had to do it before, I got to put like music on and I got to lay down. And when I go, I always tell the technician or nurse or doctors, I always tell them, like, whatever you're doing, this is hard enough for me as it is, because I get very squeamish. And a lot of people faint. I throw up, guys. I get like the cold sweats, and then I'll throw up first and then faint. So I always warn them of that, and I say, like, don't talk about what you're doing. Like, you can't – if you tell me what you're doing, that you're going to put the needle in now, or like that one chick when I went to go get blood, she was like, not enough blood came out. I'm going to squeeze a little. Like, don't describe to me what you're doing. That's the biggest mistake you can make. Things going up, anything medical – like, I can watch stuff that's, like, violent. Like, I can watch violent movies. You know, Saw doesn't make me feel squeamish when the guy's cutting his own leg off. You know, any graphic thing that they show, it doesn't bother me. For some reason, it's anything medical. It's always freaked me out. Just the thought of, like, sticking this thing up your nose. And I got to go do it. I got to go do it this weekend, you guys. And I'm not looking forward to it. But this is the new... this is the new stand-up comedy. I mean, this is what it's going to take. I have to go get on an international flight, and I got to go overseas. And this is a big, like, comeback of comedy, but it's like a big leap. This is like the big epic comeback. You know, me doing an over... for me, anyway, it's like me doing an overseas gig. This is the furthest I've traveled to do shows. The only time I've ever been out of the country is for Canada. You know, I had a great time doing shows. This will be the most foreign to me. And it's going to be interesting. It's certainly going to be a journey. But that's something that we've always done here on the Homeschool Podcast, as we document the journey, you know, of an artist, of a stand-up comedian. And that's who I am. And if this is what it takes, and this is what it takes, you guys, before anything else, that's what I put first, is this dream that I've been chasing for the last 12 years. And every day I'm getting closer and closer, even if it's step by step or inch by inch, I'm getting closer. And it's too late now to back down. I'm still fighting the good fight. So it's a new world, you know. There's always been something new that the people who are already in the field had to adapt to. You know, like, I hear all the time from comics before my generation that are amazingly talented comics. You know, they struggle with the new, let's say, technology. You know, Instagram, they're not as good on it. They're not good on the YouTube. I'm not good on YouTube or social media, really. I think I'm okay at it, but like, but as far as like the numbers and, you know, then podcasts came around, and then you have these comics that are just beasts on stage. They're just so talented that nobody knows who they are because they couldn't adapt to the new era. So there's always been something new, and now this is like the newest thing. This is something that comics have never had to go through before. We're having to, you know, perform for places that are not allowed to be packed. In our industry, you want the room to be packed. That's your goal. I want to sell out. So now selling out means half the room is full. And comedy's always been contagious. You know, that's what they say. Laughter is contagious. That's why a packed room is always more fun to play than a non-packed room. Or a small room was more fun to play than a large room. Because the laughs travel. They're contagious. And it takes less time for them to travel in a small room. That's why you hear small ceilings are the best rooms, or rooms that don't go far back, you know, because that takes a minute to travel. You know, I like rooms that go wide this way rather than deep, you know, because then you'll say a joke, and depending on like where the speakers are, like if the speakers are where I am, the front row is going to laugh and that's going to travel back. Or if the speakers are behind the theater, the laughs are going to start in the back, and that's always weird. And then they come up to the front. But bottom line is that laughter is contagious. And so now we're talking about distancing. You know, stand-up comedy has always been about bringing people together. I think it's a huge part of spreading love, which is definitely what the world needs right now. And comedy's always brought people together. So now we're dealing with half the room. The goal is to fill half the room before the goal used to be fill the whole room. And then the goal is for laughter to be contagious. Now it's, you know, 6 feet apart. You know, wear a mask when you're not eating or drinking. Now we can't even see their faces if they're smiling. It's a new world. And I'm not trying to say new normal or none of that shit. And I think it's slowly getting better, you know, as time goes by. But for now, it's the things that we have to go through, and it's, are you willing to go through it? And when it comes down to it, yes, I am. I mean, I've sacrificed everything else. I've sacrificed relationships and you know, holidays and times with my family and you know, just everything, just the things I've done, performing in shitty rooms, sleeping on floors, sleeping on couches. I mean, I've done it all, you guys. I'm not complaining. I'm fortunate to have had that education. And, you know, it's just, I went through all that already. I've gotten this far. I'm not going to let something like, you know, this stupid virus or a pandemic stop me from keeping my eye on the prize. And I'm still after it. Really quick, I want to take a second to let everybody know that this episode is brought to you by Masterclass. I am mostly proud to have Masterclass as my sponsor on this show. I don't mean mostly, like, kind of. I meant, like, out of all my sponsors, I'm the most proud to have them because it's the one that I think is most important that people will actually use and need, especially during a pandemic, or especially from people that are home or have full-time jobs or have kids. And, you know, you want to take a class in something. You want to broaden your horizon. You want to broaden your education in something that you're passionate about, or maybe something that you've always wanted to start, but you're like, I got to take acting classes or comedy classes or writing classes. You know, I want to write that book. I want to write poetry. How can I get better at it? I want to write that script. I want to get started. I want to be a filmmaker. You know, I want to learn to play guitar. I want to learn to cook. And it's like, I know I got to take these classes. I know I got to start the basics. I don't have time. I got a family. I got kids. I got to pay the rent. So, guys, that's why I absolutely love MasterClass, because it's affordable and it lets you do it on your own schedule and in your home. So there's no more excuses not to go after it anymore. So click the link in the description. Don't waste any more time. If you haven't already, I don't know what you're waiting for. You're sitting there at home anyway. Do it, okay? Instead of sitting there binging, you know, something you've seen 100 times on television, you're over there watching the Food Network, watching Guy Fieri's, you know, supermarket show or whatever the fuck you're watching. But you've been sitting there telling yourself that you want to be a better cook, or, you know, you want to write that story. And this is the time to go and learn how to do it right. You know you need to learn. You know you need to take a course. And MasterClass has a course on just about everything. Now, normally, it's $90 per course that you want to take. So let's say you want to be a comedian, right? So you want to take the acting one, you want to take the stand-up comedy one, the writing one, and that just those alone right there. So now what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to click the link in the description, and you can have access to the entire website for $180. So if you're going to take two courses anyway, it makes no sense to take two courses and pay for them separately. Sign up for the entire website, have access to every single course that MasterClass has to offer, unlimited for the whole year. You can take your time on each course at your own schedule, and you know, maybe you live with a roommate or your spouse or something like that, that they want to do the you know, the filmmaking one or the poetry or the music or the food, but you don't do the comedy, the acting, whatever. You guys can go halvesies on it, share the password, and just have at it, have fun, you know, diving into, I mean, there's, if you want to be a better chess player, I mean, they have it all on there, okay? So this will be great. This will be great for you. So click the link in the description. In the description, they're a proud sponsor of Homeschool Podcast, and we really appreciate the support. Okay, so back to the show. We're talking about coming back to, you know, stand-up comedy world after a pandemic, and still during a pandemic, kind of, and just documenting that journey and what it means right now to be inside a show, to be inside a theater. And stand-up comedy has always been about bringing people together, and everything this past year plus has been about tearing people apart, whether it be, you know, I vote left, I vote right, I vote blue, you vote red, you know, black, white, you're a cop, you're not a cop, Asian, you know what I mean, you voted for Trump, you voted for Biden, you know, I'm anti-vax, I'm for vax, I'm anti-mask, I'm for wearing masks, you know, I'm for quarantine, or I'm against it. Everything in the last, like, year and a half has been about pulling us apart. And like I was saying during the first half of this episode, is we were told as stand-up comics that we were not essential when everything else was allowed to open. If you're an artist, you were not essential. That's what we were told. Non-essential. You heard that word a lot during the pandemic. Non-essential. You heard it all the time. You know, you'd be like, "Well, you're going to work? Well, I'm an essential worker." You know. Well, you know, then most of the country was not essential. So for me to write those letters and those emails and to contact and go to the meetings, the head of the Board of Supervisors for Los Angeles, and then for us to tell us that, you know, we weren't important. We are not the ones, you know, we're not first on the list to be approved. When you clearly got, you know, people sitting out dining You couldn't have anyone entertaining them. The artist was non-essential. So most people were called non-essential, which is a very nice way of saying not important. You're not important enough to go to work. It's like on the Titanic and, you know, they let all the rich people go first. Now I'm not saying only the rich people got to go to work, but it was like, who's to say what's important and what's not important? You know, or they let only women and children go first. Now, I guess that, you know, that's the noble thing to do. But everybody's important to somebody. So that's what non-essential basically means. It means that you're not important. At a time like this, we can only allow a certain amount of people to go out and live their lives. Because if everybody went out and lived their lives, then, you know, it's too much of a risk. So we had to limit the people that were allowed to live their life. And you, the way that you live your life, it's not important. So that's what non-essential means. It means you're not important. Now, I'm a stand-up comic, and I have been for the last 12 years, and I live in Los Angeles, which in the last 12 years has been the place to live if you wanted to be a stand-up comic, so I am amongst millions and millions of comedians. I know what it's like to feel not important. You know you're talented, you know you're gifted, you know you're a hard worker, and you've been sticking this out for a really long time. And you know you're good. You know you're talented. But you show up to a comedy club and they tell you, you know, you can't be in here. We're only allowed a certain amount of people. And we're going to kick out the people who aren't important. I know what it feels like. You can come from one place and you murdered on stage. And then you go over to the Laugh Factory and they're like, you can't come in. We only let in the important people. Only important comics are allowed to hang out here. Non-essential. I know what it's like to be non-essential. I've been non-essential for 12 years. So, as we enter back into the entertainment world, not virtually, but in person, this is what I want to talk about. How the word non-essential was a nice way of saying you're not important. And so this goes out to everyone who's an artist, I want you to know something. Had they let us do our thing during the worst of times, they wouldn't have been the worst of times. Had they allowed stand-up comedy, you would have had white people, black people, Asians, Latin people. You would have had people who lean right, people who lean left, all gather and sit and watch one person on stage, and they would laugh at the same things. When you go out and you watch live entertainment and you hear something that really hit you in the heart, you look at people around you and you make eye contact. You make eye contact with a stranger and you laugh because you both kind of, without saying anything, went like, you believe this? Like you both felt what the person on stage was saying. And that makes you realize how much we are alike and we're not so different. And it spread laughter and cheer and love. And that's also what musicians do. Any live performers, you know, theatrical actors, people who write a great story that touches people's lives, makes them feel kind of nostalgia, makes them think about their parents or their brother and sister, someone who has the ability to write a great story. And then you have somebody who has the ability to take that story and bring it to life on stage. Then you have somebody who can add music to it. Somebody who can design a set. Somebody who can paint the background. Somebody who can, you know, paint a picture where people can go look at an art gallery and get people talking. If you're an artist, you make the world a better place. And had you been allowed to do what you do during the pandemic, it would have been a better time. If you are a painter, a poet, a writer, an actor, a singer, a musician, anyone who is an artist, a stand-up comedian, anyone who is an artist, you are important. The world needs you to not be boring, to make it a better place, to make it an even more beautiful place. It would not be as beautiful without you. So to artists everywhere, you are important. You are essential. And that's the message today here at Homeschool Podcast. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Wish me luck on my journey of my COVID test and my 16-hour flight there and back, and having wonderful performances performing for people who are very different than the way that I was raised in my culture. It'll be my first time performing for a different culture, and I'm doing my best to spread love all over the world during my Only Love Can Save the World tour, which you can get tickets at homeschoolpod.com. Homeschooledpod.com. Click on tour. And while you're there, click on merch. Pick up a t-shirt. The Only Love Can Save the World design on a sticker, t-shirt, mug, or something. And while you're there, you can click on contact and send me an email directly if you just want to say something, talk, ask me a question. I will respond to you as soon as I possibly can. And I really, really appreciate every single person that has continued to support this show and support me. And hopefully you will support me going forward. If you're new to this show, I hope that you subscribe. Please go to YouTube and subscribe. I need to get my YouTube numbers up. We started on the YouTube late, but now that we do video, I hope that you will subscribe there. I put stand-up sets up there. I put all these episodes of Homeschool Podcast there. And thank you guys for tuning in, and I hope that you take this to heart, what I had to say today. And I hope that it makes you feel and realize the truth that you are important, because I know I felt it. It comes and goes, a feeling not important. And I am so familiar with what that is like. I'm so familiar with being told I'm not essential way before the pandemic. And I want to let you guys know that you are essential and you are important. And this episode is dedicated to artists everywhere. I'm Augustino Zoida. This is Homeschooled Podcast. Don't forget that only love can save the world. I'll see you guys soon. Take care. Peace. I love you guys. Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because it was homeschool.
I don't want to do that.
No, okay.
I don't want to do that at all.